Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had
Hello, North Bay Station Jack. I'm sorry, Mr. Bill, we're on the board. SP Futures up 975. Dow is up 82. Nasdaq Futures up 29. So we're continuing the bounce back from Friday when we fell on the Chinese dudes not going to Bozeman, Wyoming, of all places. So now that seems to be behind us, and we're back to where we were on Friday. Yesterday we were up, we were actually up 14 in the Dow, or down 29 cents in the S&P. So we had like a nothing day yesterday. So we're trying to bounce that back here, and we'll see. It's, you know, slightly quiet. We've got, so when it's all said and done, we're going to declare victory because they're going to buy almost as many soybeans as they used to buy before we started this whole mess, Manny?
Oh, that would be fitting.
By the way, I'm sure when Kevin calls in, we're going to have, maybe I won't put words in his mouth, more of the same, but I've gotten my men from the right that are already on absolute unprecedented lockdown looking for things wrong with the whistleblower in this Ukraine case. Let me help you on both sides. If somebody runs over somebody in the street and somebody sees it, I honestly don't care if the person who sees it and is truthful regarding that particular incident, I don't care what he does, what his job is, whether he's right, whether he's left, whether he's black, whether he's white, whether he's purple. If he sees something and reports it, and it's something that's reportable, the idea that you move all possible rocks to try and discredit that person before they even, I don't care about whether if they're credible in that instance. I mean, Jose Canseco would never have been my best buddy, but when he talked about steroids, I listened because he knew something about it more than me. Thank God. Although I could use a few, maybe. What do you think? The good ones. Only the good ones. Although I'm not doing shots.
No.
Remember back in the day, remember they did the monkey? I don't think it was before your time. They did the monkey hormones. I think you had to inject those where you don't want to inject anything type of thing. It was bad stuff guys were using back in those days. Some of those guys are still alive. I can't believe the Arnold is still alive. The governor. That guy was on from what age? And he seems to still be with us.
Who?
Schwarzenegger. What's his name?
Not Arnold?
Yeah.
What about him?
Well, Mr. Roidster. He's still with us.
Yeah, still going strong.
And he was doing it back in the day when you didn't have the science you do now.
How old do you think he is?
He's got to be 70.
72. He turned 72 on July 30th. He was born in 1947.
Wow. And was he governor two terms? He was, wasn't he?
I know it was at least one term. Let me see if I can find that out real quick.
I think he did a halfway decent job, too.
Yep, two terms. He was the 38th governor of California from 2003 to 2011.
And he could not run for president because he was born in South Africa, correct?
Austria.
Well, all those guys trained in South Africa back in the day when... That's where all the big Hulkmen came. They all trained down there.
Yeah, that
back
could
when,
be.
Back when it was, back during apartheid, actually. Or when what's-his-name was in jail. Mandela, those guys were all down there. I never had a great desire to go to South Africa, did you?
I'd go there. I mean, there's places I'd go before I went there. But
I mean,
but
I mean it's a 50-hour flight for to what?
I mean, it's pretty beautiful terrain if you're into that whole thing, which, like I said, there's many other places I'd rather go first. But if someone said, hey, you want to go to South Africa, I'd consider going there.
I suppose. But, I mean, if I was going to fly that far...
Where else are you going to see wild, like, rhinoceroses and stuff? And giraffe.
If I was going to fly 20 hours, I'd probably do Australia first.
Well, me too. I would too.
Just saying.
But plus, that wasn't the question.
I know. It's how do you even go down there? What are you going to go? You fly to London and fly straight south? Or what do you even do?
I think you fly to London, then you fly right into Johannesburg.
That's got to be a long
from
kick.
London. Yeah, I bet it is.
Oh, God. So what do you think of the Bears last night?
Well, they won. It was certainly much better than the first 2 weeks from the offense's perspective. And now, granted, Washington isn't very good, but to win on the road in the NFL, I don't care who you're playing.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it every week. You know, the Eagles, you know, lost at home to the Lions. I mean, teams go into Arizona, who's not very good, and they struggle. Teams go into Tampa Bay and struggle. It's hard to win on the road. So to go in there and dominate, and, you know, they were up, what, 28-3
yeah.
most of that game. And then Redskins played a little bit better in the second half and moved the ball on our defense a little bit. And then there were some penalties that reversed a fumble recovery. Otherwise, the game really would have been over. And so they made it interesting, but the offense did just enough, got a field goal to kind of put it away, and there you go. But it was the second quarter where the Bears defense forced some turnovers, and then the Bears offense got hot, and Mitch actually played his best stretch of the season, where he threw three touchdown passes, one on the run that he threw that they initially called out of bounds to Taylor Gabriel that they reversed. That was about as good of a throw as you're going to see.
Yeah, it was a beautiful throw.
And it really makes you wonder. I know they like to run the one read quick, you know, 5-7 yard passes, and I get that, and get the ball out of his hands, and you know, he's a young quarterback, but I mean, part of me is like, man, let the guy like go out there and play, because when he's improvising and he's on his feet, is he going to make mistakes? Yes, that interception he threw at the goal line in the second half was horrific, but he's also going to make plays, and you know, you can deal with a mistake here and there, I think. If he's making plays down the field, and that throw on the run was a thing of beauty, and I'd like to see a little bit more of that. But yeah, it was a very positive game. I still don't understand why they don't use Montgomery more, because I think he's their most talented back, and I know he's a rookie, but and they don't seem to trust him.
That's the same reason why they got rid of the guy last year. The other team loves now. Howard. Was it Howard? What was his name?
No one loves Howard. He's not, he's a backup for the Eagles. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I never thought Howard was that good, but they, you know, I understand you want to get Cohen the ball, and then you got this Mike Davis guy, and then they still line up Cordero Patterson and give him some carries, although he played a little better last night than he has the first 2 weeks. But they're mixing in four different guys in the backfield, and I get it, and I'm okay with that, but Montgomery needs to be the feature guy. I mean, he needs 15 touches, in my opinion.
Sometimes you can get this with this moving people back and forth, you forget people.
I think that's what it is, and he finally, you know, they started to give him the ball a little bit in the second half when they're trying to run the clock out, and he made a couple of nice runs.
Well, the first game, didn't they go through a whole half and Cohen touched the ball like once or twice?
Yeah, yeah, they get into a little bit of that where, yeah, they lose people.
Well,
and it's really good also, I wanted to say, that Trey Burton is back and appears to be healthy, because I think he is much more important to this offense than I think people realize. And I think him being out in the playoff game last year really hampered their options. Cause they don't have a serviceable tight end outside of him. And he missed week one, and I think he came back week two, but was clearly not right and wasn't a big factor. And then last night, they really started to use him in the offense, and you could see how valuable he is and how important he is for Trubisky.
They drop back as much as they say about this Nagy being this, you know, absolute genius, because they still remind me of the Bears half the time. Whenever they run, everybody knows they're running. Whatever they throw, that one was in the second quarter, third quarter maybe, where they got the turnover, and they ended up with three of the quickest useless plays, and the guy missed the field goal. And I'm going, if these guys come back and win this game, you can point to that particular series right there when they got the turnover and. It was like on a 40-yard line. They had three plays that were absolutely useless, and then the guy just missed the field goal. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, did you ever see a ball go back to the other team without a turnover any faster?
No, it was a very quick three and out. And plus, the penalties, and I feel like I don't have any stats to back this up, but I feel like there's been more penalties in this first 3 weeks of the season in the NFL.
There's been a tremendous amount more. I think if you were to, I bet if you Google it, you'll find five articles about it.
Okay, I need to look into that and see if it's true or if it's just my imagination. But so it's not just the Bears, but it's certainly the Bears too. But if you've watched the NFL the first 3 weeks, I don't know if they're just tightening down on things and maybe it'll loosen up as the season goes on, but it is a flag every other frickin' play. To the point where when your team makes a good play, you don't even clap for like five seconds because you're looking around waiting to see if there's a penalty flag.
You're seeing some holding penalties that are miles away from the ball. And you're seeing some more defensive holding penalties than you used to see.
Yeah, I agree. And it really disrupts the flow of the game. And the flow of the game is already choppy in its own right with all the commercials and stoppages in play. But when you throw a penalty on every other play. Now, part of me doesn't blame the officials. I blame the players and coaches. Like, hey, stop holding. Stop cheating. But then part of me is like, you know, I've been on the basketball court where you have some officials that let you play. And even though it's a little physical and you might feel like they missed a couple calls, you like it way better because it's like, just let us play, man. Like, we can play through a little bit of contact as opposed to the guy that calls every single thing. And you're like, oh, my God, there's this.
Well, basketball is different because they call every single thing. All of a sudden, you're out.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, you can foul out. So I don't know. But, yeah, there was a lot of plays last night that, you know, the Bears defense would get a turnover and it would be nullified because of a penalty, or there was, you know, offsetting penalties or whatever. It seemed like every other play.
Well, there's an awful lot more, and some I've seen it go uncalled. There seems like everybody's taking a much bigger shot at the line of scrimmage. There's a lot more false start and a lot more offside penalties. Guys are really trying to catch the count. I was watching one of the game yesterday where one of the defensive guys shifted way to his left on the goal line and he suckered the offensive guy over. You know, that's a New England type of thing. But I think that one of the big differences in probably comes hand in hand with protecting the quarterback, which I don't have a problem with. But I think guys are much more likely, if they totally miss a block, since it went from 15 yards to 10, the holding, they're going to grab the guy rather than have him get a clean shot at your QB.
No, I agree with that. And they've always kind of done that. I think guys
15 yards was you might have still done it, but you were a little more reluctant. 10 yards doesn't really break the whole, you know, doesn't screw up the whole series, but first and 25 years surely did.
Yeah, but if you're trying to block Khalil Mack and you completely whiff on him and you know he's going to kill your quarterback, I think your quarterback thanks you if you just grab the guy.
Oh yeah, I definitely. I think the Bears have some. I hope the one guy's not. Like you mentioned Hicks. I hope he's not hurt too bad.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks left the game, and I'm going to try to get a little more information on that ahead of my 6:30 sports report here. But he's obviously a very, very important piece in the middle, not only against the run, but he also draws a double team a lot and frees things up for Floyd and Mack on the edges. And he's kind of an unsung guy, and he's also a leader of that defense too. So to lose him, by the way, Danny Trevathan last night, man, he was all over the field. I mean, Roquan Smith, who I love and is usually the guy that they're calling his name all the time, was pretty quiet last night for whatever reason. But Trevathan was everywhere.
Well, Trevathan, well, he was like blitzing and stuff more than I ever see him doing that. I mean, he was the guy doing it, and not the other guy, Smith.
Yeah, and that's a Pagano's thing, where Fangio was much more of a base package, conservative, you know, let's just stay in our standard 4-3 or 3-4 and let our front seven make plays and not blitz. And I tend to agree with that when you have a really good pass rush. Pagano likes to blitz. He likes to put the pressure on. He likes to have quarterbacks make quick decisions. I think that really works against young quarterbacks or, you know, middling quarterbacks like Case Keenum. You try to do that against Tom Brady or Drew Brees, I think you get picked apart. So I don't know how well that strategy will hold up if the Bears, you know, make the playoffs again.
I don't know how much of it's the quarterback.
It worked against Rodgers week one. I mean, he didn't do anything. But he hasn't had a great year altogether. So I don't know what his story is.
Well, they're 3-0.
They are, and in spite of him. He's been very pedestrian. They've just run the ball better, and their defense is vastly improved. I mean, they spent a lot of money on their defense in the offseason.
Well, it seems like these teams that have these quarterbacks, and I don't know which is which, they always end up with a line that maybe the timing is better, the quarterback gets rid of it better, whatever it is, but it seems like New England always has a good offensive line. The kid they got from Georgia, left tackle, Is he going to be all pro his first year?
It wouldn't surprise me. They always have a good offensive line. They always know when to get rid of guys at the right time and just let them go. And then they always have, you know, a fourth round pick that's, you know, sat behind a guy and he's ready to roll.
Well, they always seem to have, and it's usually, some white guy who would, you would never put in a split end position that is the key to the offense, that whenever a linebacker does something he's not supposed to normally do, like a blitz or something, the guy instantly recognizes it and goes to the spot, and Brady finds him without anybody within 10 feet of him. But if you ask the same guy to run like a down and out against a serious cornerback, he couldn't do it any more than I could.
Yeah.
Probably. But there's people, I mean, the guy who was probably the best at that in college I ever saw was Jeff Samardzija. I mean, Notre Dame, I don't watch all these other college games, but he would constantly be standing in the middle of a zone spot where there's nobody within 8 feet of him. You know, 15 yards, 12 yards, nothing.
And there's an art to that, finding the hole in the zone, and a lot of teams are going to play zone, especially when they're blitzing. They'll have to play zone on the back end. Yeah, there's an art to that. New England, I think those guys appear to be so good, though, because of Brady. I truly believe that, and because of that offensive line.
Well, this guy they
Brady.
Got now is the best one they've ever had.
Edelman?
He looks like, what is he at?
Well, I mean, he's tested positive for PEDs in the past, so it wouldn't surprise me if he's all jacked up.
I mean, the look on his face, it's like he's whatever he's had.
He's a guy, too, that's probably already had 10 concussions in his career, and you worry about guys like that.
Oh, by the way, we didn't mention two things yesterday. One, I really felt bad for somebody who's been watching it my entire life, literally. The last game ever on WGN. I remember all those days. Brick house and, come home and one day I'm watching the White Sox, one day I'm watching the Cubs as soon as I get back from school. And, and then in the summertime you always watched them. Whoever was home you watched. Then I remember the Cubs going, nationwide on the network.
The Superstation, as they called it. Yeah.
Well, for years before that, Matty, they would put one or two games on. That would go to a whole bunch of cities. They didn't just do that one day. They tried it for a while. They called it the Continental Network, where one or two games a week they would. And I think in those days there was no satellite. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think you had to go by phone line. Now whether you went to a central spot and out from there, I don't remember, but my guess is you did. You went to Omaha or someplace and then they branched out from there, but I think it was phone line to every town. How else could it have been? There was no satellite. Right.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what happened. But for those that missed the story, the Cubs are obviously moving to their own network, the Marquee Cable Network. Is that next year or the year after?
It must be next year.
Yeah, and so after a 72-year partnership with WGN-TV, 5 years after or 3 years after they ended their partnership with WGN Radio, which is also a big kind of shock locally here. They apparently appear to have played their last game on WGN, which is
the last game on free TV.
Yeah, which is, this year I bet they played probably 50 games on WGN and probably 30 games on Channel 7.
Oh, okay, you're right. You're out of 161, I'd say probably half on free TV.
They played 162 games, right? I'd say about 50 games on WGN and about 30 on Channel 7. So that's free TV for half the season. Then the other half is on Comcast, and then there's a few, ESPN games or whatever. So that'll be a decision that a lot of people will have to make
I will not buy them special on the cable package.
Yeah, I'll have to see I'm gonna buy whatever the a la carte option is, assuming there is one. But yeah, it'll be interesting because I think a lot of people will choose not to buy it.
And they're going to fire the manager?
They're not going to fire the manager. His contract is up.
Well, they're not going to rehire him. Same thing.
It's not the same thing. He signed a 5-year deal and he managed 5 years, and then they'll decide if they're going. And it might be his decision too. I don't know. But they haven't. They have not signed a new deal. I like Joe Maddon and have always defended him. But I do think I don't know if he's frustrated or checked out or if he knows that he's not coming back, but he didn't seem to be, the Cubs were not the Cubs, what was great about the Cubs during this run is they were the light, carefree team that was spraying water and joking around with each other, and they were the fun team, whereas the Cardinals were like the tight team, especially under Matheny. The Cardinals were like so tight, and you knew they would fade. And
there was always a massive schism there between the Matheny people and the who's the catcher?
Molina
people.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. But the and then for whatever reason now it's like the Cardinals are like the fun team joking around, and you know, they're celebrating.
It's always fun when you're winning.
Well, yeah, I know, but I think that there's a looseness that you need to play with when you're playing every single day, where it breeds confidence among everyone else, and it makes the moment seem lighter. And the Cubs were like the best at that, and they were fun and young and carefree. And I thought Madden had a lot to do with that.
That happens when you get old, man.
This year, it's like, well, these guys are like 26.
But the pressure being put on the team is different. Okay, now you guys, you're still the best team. And all you do is you look at every power rating all year, and the Cubs are like eighth. And yet the management seems to think that they're still number one and two. They're not even close.
They're eighth. They should still be making the playoffs.
Well, okay, but I mean
they're not.
They're. They,
I think they've well underperformed they should
but
be.
But the people that have underperformed are the pitching staff.
Well, the pitching if you look at the numbers, the pitching staff has blown a lot of saves. But as a whole, their bullpen ERA is third in the National League, which is not bad.
If in the last 15 games, if they would have gotten 9 games remotely close to what Darvish gave them on Sunday, they would not have lost 6 in a row.
They don't have a stopper.
They don't have a number one pitcher. Lester's the number one guy. He's gone, what, 4 or 5 innings, and he's given up like 5 runs his last 4 starts.
Well, he's obviously on the back end of his career. I mean, he might even be on the 18th hole. I'm not sure. And but, I mean, Hendricks has been a top 10 or 12 pitcher.
He gave you a couple of good starts.
And
the guy from the Sox.
Hamels is old. Quintana has had really good stretches and really bad stretches this year, which is kind of what he's been since he's been here.
He needs another pitch. And right now, he's nowhere near what they gave up for him.
I don't disagree with that, and I said that at the time. I also think that they do need a number one starter. I think, and those are hard to get, and they were hoping that Darvish was going to be that guy, which is why they gave him so much money. And in the second half of the year, he showed flashes of that, so maybe next year he will be that guy. But you're not going to have Hamels back. I think you have Quintana for one more year. Lester, like I said, I mean, who knows what he has left. I think you have him for one more year. Hendricks is good. They re-signed him, so he's locked up. I think they're going to try to bring in a big-time starter, like a Garrett Cole-type guy.
Well, they pissed away.
And they need it.
How much money on Morrow? How much money on this?
Well, their closer, yeah, the Kimbrel and Morrow and those guys have really killed them. And they're eating up a ton of money, and they've gotten no production from them.
And highest paid guy is still, what's his name, the outfielder.
And Hayward has turned out to be a terrible signing.
S&P Futures, I'll get those
guys there. And as if things weren't depressing enough, we have to bring up Michigan football with Joel after the break.
If he's still with us.
If he's still with us.
Dow Futures up 82, NASDAQ Futures up 28, and S&P up 9. Be right back, Mr. Joel and Conan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Now, time out. Mr. Man Weber, S&P futures up 1075. NASDAQ futures up 32.25. Dow up 91. We're trying to bounce back to where we were Friday before we sold off when the Chinese delegation was not going to Bose, but obviously we've managed to deal with that, and it probably wasn't that big of a deal, so we're bouncing back kind of where we were. I don't know. Europe was down pretty heavy yesterday with really bad numbers. That they're actually no growth. I'm going to say use the recession word over there, but maybe not quite ready to use that word, but pretty close. But today, not much of a bounce. DAX up 12.1%, FTSE down 11.1%. CAC around up 13.2. They're both the DAX and the CAC around were down over 1% yesterday. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 19, call that flat. Shanghai up 8.3%. Hang Seng up 58.2%, so slightly to the upside there. Bonds 10-year 1.71. The Bund minus 0.57, which is actually got back to minus 0.5 and are slipping south again. Japanese 10-year minus 2.23. We got oil actually down 64 cents, $58 exactly. Brent down 86 cents, $63.91. Do the math, $5.91 is that spread. Natural gas, $2.56. RBOB gas, $1.66. So the guys that are up to like $3 in the last 2 weeks could probably lower it some since RBOB is up a whole 2 cents. So guys, get with it. Silver down 9 cents, still over $18, $18.61. Gold down $3.50, $15.28. Anyway, F-Force Traffic Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues already on the area expressways, Chief. We have an accident on the right shoulder of the inbound Kennedy just before Lawrence Avenue. It's a big one involving five cars. So expect delays of up to an hour already on the inbound Kennedy, which is not a good start to a Tuesday morning. But keep that in mind as you're heading out, or if you've already started. I would turn back if I were you.
Yep.
Outbound Kennedy looking okay. No issues on the Edens. We have a crash on the Eisenhower that's been moved to the right shoulder. Inbound side at First Avenue there on I-290. Stevenson looks okay. No issues on the Dan Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. One other crash that just came across here. It's on the Jane Addams Tollway, I-90, on the outbound side at Elmhurst Road. This crash is blocking the right lane. Weather today, it's going to be a beautiful early fall day. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 79 degrees, low humidity. Right now it's mostly clear and 62 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, more showers in the forecast. In fact, it was yesterday, today, and it looks like a couple more days this week. Lots of showers down in the Valley of the Sun. A high of 89. Right now it's rainy and 68. In sports, the Bears were on Monday Night Football last night, and it was a pretty good showing on the road. They blew out the Redskins 31-15. Bears jumped out to a 28-3 lead and then held on to win in the second half. Mitchell Trubisky had his best game of the season, 25 of 31, 231 yards, three touchdown passes, one interception, 116.5 QB rating. So that was good to see after a couple of clunkers to start the year. David Montgomery had 13 carries for 67 yards in his one of his better efforts of his young career, but Taylor Gabriel was the star on the offense. Six catches, 75 yards, three touchdowns. All three came in the second quarter, including that 36-yarder where he got both feet in. He was targeted seven times. The Bears' defense forced five turnovers, highlighted by two Ha-Ha Clinton Dix interceptions. In baseball, the Cubs were off last night. They're at Pittsburgh. They have about a 2% chance of making the playoffs, but they probably have to win their final six here. They'll begin three in Pittsburgh tonight, 6:05 Chicago time first pitch. White Sox, of course, have been eliminated. They're playing out their season. They'll host Cleveland beginning tonight. Diamondbacks lost to the Cardinals last night, 9-7.
Chief. Joel, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about the Bears?
I'm happily surprised to hear from you. I thought maybe the short sword came out Saturday.
Chief, we go over this every time Michigan has a loss, and you use the short sword comment. And every time I urge you not to use that comment because, you know, that can have a lot of negative associations to people. So, as of right now,
not
I can only
sword.
Identify
not that
two
sword,
things.
Joel.
I can only identify two things wrong with the Michigan team.
Offense and defense.
That's exactly right. Yep.
I thought you were going to say coaches and players. But.
I'm not sure. The players, the headlines. Right now, and you could put this out here, first to be heard, even Paul Feinbaum doesn't have this take. Do you know who Paul Feinbaum is?
I've heard the name.
The famous college football SEC guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, since I didn't read the newspaper on Sunday or Monday, and since I will not, this is the only sports radio I will be associated with probably for the rest of the football season, okay?
Okay.
On my prediction right now, if Michigan doesn't right the ship, Harbaugh's looking at 7-5.
Oh.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes. And that's with beating Iowa at home on homecoming, which is also my birthday, so Harbaugh better not mess that up. And also that's at Illinois on my daughter's wedding. I know Illinois lost to Eastern, but you got to listen to this gauntlet. You got to go at Penn State on the road. Then you come home, you play Notre Dame at home, who had a respectable game against Georgia.
Yep.
That's also including a win at Maryland, a bye week. I'm figuring a loss to Michigan State, a win at Indiana, and a loss to Ohio State. That's why I come up with 7-5.
I think they beat Michigan State.
Well, I tell you right now, the only positive that I could bring from the game, and let me preface that, Wisconsin is my second favorite team in the Big Ten.
Wisconsin's tough, especially
for various reasons. Yep. My dad was born in Wisconsin, and we have some very good friends that went there, and I just like Wisconsin. They're one hell of a team.
And well, you know,
I don't know if they're an Alabama-like or Ohio State-like, but you know when they play Ohio State coming up in a couple weeks, I'm going to have my Bucky Badger T-shirt on, and, you know, they put those two guys in the backfield, those two offensive linemen, and then they run Jonathan Taylor. I mean, that's one hell of a team. And my early prediction to my Michigan fans was if Jonathan Taylor got over 100 yards, we were going to lose. Well, he had 75 yards on the first drive.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, there's not too many Michigan games that I've been watching over the years when at the end of the first drive of the game, I said, we're going to lose. I always hold the faith. I'm always looking for the, you know, three touchdowns and 2-point conversions and the field goal and this and that and everything, onside kicks. But I could find no mathematical scenario, even when we were down 7-0, that we can win that game.
Well, Maddie and I were discussing the Cubs and the 2016 team, and the thing that, don't you hate it when the other guys get better? I mean, the Cubs are not that much worse. They're a little bit worse, but the other guys are better. And you look at the Bears. If the Bears didn't win last night, all of a sudden the Central Division, the team you love to hate, Detroit, is not bad. Green Bay somehow over the winter showed up with a defense out of the blue. They're way better than last year. If the Bears would have gone,
Minnesota's better too.
Yeah, if the Bears would have gone 1-2. I'd almost been doing a Dandy Dan, turn out the lights. They'll be lucky. I mean, if they split with every one of those teams, they're doing okay.
Yeah, no, I know that division is shaking up. I know we got some Motor City Kitty fans out there in Chicago. Boy, Philadelphia is banged up. They didn't have DeSean Jackson. They didn't have Alshon Jeffries. They lost Jason Peters partway through the game. So Philly's really a banged up team, no doubt about that. So I'm not going to take away the victory from the Lions. Their big test is on Sunday with KC. But I just want to make one comment here about Khalil Mack. And I will say that he is the most impressive defensive player that I have seen since Lawrence Taylor.
He's good. That guy Donald is probably as good.
Unbelievable.
That guy Donald's probably as good.
I think it's different. I think Khalil Mack's just so much faster.
Well, you see him out on the end.
Than Aaron Donald.
Interesting story. We played in this softball tournament one night. And of course, we get poured rain out in the first game. So the thing's called off. And we go to the local saloon, imagine that. And one of the guys had played center and for one of the teams in what's Buffalo's conference where Khalil Mack went?
The Mac, I believe.
He was on the Illinois team that played out there. And he's a center. And he goes, my job was on this one play, we sweep right, and I come back and I make sure that there's nobody's coming from the other side that can chase the play. He goes, I take my two steps back, the guy was already by me, it was Khalil Mack. He goes, he's the fastest thing I've ever seen. After one play, we're like, what are we going to do with this guy? Imagine a college kid's thinking that, much less pros.
It's amazing to me that he went to Buffalo and every, you know, Power 5 school whiffed on him. It's amazing to me.
Was he real skinny when he went there?
I heard he just didn't play football until his senior year of high school or something.
That's what I heard that too. Yeah. But I mean, he's so they might come back on you. After all, they are college kids, Joel. You can't. Plus,
yeah,
I think Wisconsin is better than you think.
You know, like I told you, and I said this at the beginning of the season. My focus is not so much Michigan football, but you know, I have the daughter getting married October 12th, so. I don't know if you guys have any kids or have any daughters or dealt with wedding planning or anything, but it can be quite a task. And I just one comment about the oil market here and the spoos and then the hop. Man, oh, man, if oil can't rally now, I don't know when the hell it's going to rally, right, with everything that's going on in the Middle East. And also with the market here, I mean, the quietest expiration I think I've seen in over my 25 years of being in the market.
This is scary, Joel.
That was a really quiet unwind on Friday. We held last week's lows here, so, man, oh, man, as much as I hate to say it, well, I don't hate to say it because my long-term portfolio, but just looks like a slow grind up here in the S&Ps.
It does, and yet I somehow things have changed in the last 5 years, and everybody thinks it hasn't. I don't know. I hope you're right, Joel. But would I say last week that when Schlumberger got up to 40, there's going to be 48 people, like in the movie, the whack-a-mole things back down to 37?
Yeah. Take those profits on moves like that. But I'll still end with the Go Blue, Chief.
All right, take care, buddy. SP Futures up 10 and a quarter, and NASDAQ Futures up 31.50. When we come back, we'll have Mr. Matty Weber and myself. Mr. Kenny Polcari is not here today.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber, SP Futures up 10 and a quarter, and NASDAQ Futures up 31. Remember the quote that I came out of when I read Freedom from Fear, Matty, with the why the atomic bomb basically had to be used is because we had 250,000 people working on the damn thing for a year and a half, and for all the people doing it. I mean, it just, I think the quote from William Kennedy was, events were in the saddle and they drove the men hard, which is kind of an odd saying until you think about it. I got this article here. Thank you, David. Mr. David Parks sent it to me. For those of you that don't know, I'll ask you, Manny. You're a man of the world these days. Which European countries that are in the euro do not use the euro? There are nine of them. I don't expect you to do all nine, but...
Does Germany still use the franc?
No.
They don't, right? I think
it wasn't a franc; it was a Deutschmark.
Or the Deutschmark, French franc. Yeah, sorry. Well, Poland uses.
Yep, there's one.
That's one. There starts with like a Z or an X. Yeah. I can't remember, like a Zappy or something.
Their issue though is that people's mortgages are tied to the Swiss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they had real problems there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably name a handful here, but I don't think I can name all nine, so go ahead.
Obviously, Britain.
Right, they use the pound.
And then Denmark and Sweden.
Okay.
And well, then you got like Romania and Czech Republic and Croatia and Bulgaria, you know, how important they are. But they are if you're from there, obviously. But anyway, the Denmark has decided, well, they haven't decided, but in order to keep up with the people circling the drain and driving negative interest rates. Let me tell you where this article came from so I can be legit about this. It's actually on Yahoo Finance. It's by Nick Rogilio and Morton Butler. Two T's in Butler. Never seen that before, have you?
Can't say I have, actually.
No, that's an odd one. Anyway, the...
What's the title of the article?
Banks have changed the rules of the negative rate of... Banks just changed the rules of the negative rate game for Danes. A lot of A's in there. So Denmark is about to become a test case for what happens when banks start charging a lot of customers to store their money. I didn't realize this before, but it says that's because one of the biggest banking groups just changed the rules of the game by removing the floodgate that has shielded most retail depositors. Until Friday, this is even though the banks, when they put their excess cash on deposit, are getting negative interest rates from their central bank, which you see in the numbers we quote every day. Evidently, I would never have guessed they did this, but they, see how you learn every day, Mitty? If you didn't have over $1 million in the bank, they didn't charge you negative interest. I'm sure they got fees and everything else like they do here, which gets you negative, but they didn't actually charge you a negative rate. So anyway, they dropped the amount of money you needed to have in an account this is so backwards, to pay negative interest. From $1 million in surplus cash down to $100,000. So if you got $50,000 in there, they're not dinging you on interest, although God knows if they're giving you anything else in terms of cost. It used to be if if you had $1 million or over did they take money out as negative interest. How weird does that sound, Manny?
Quite weird.
Yeah. And so now they've dropped it to $100,000. So essentially damn near every man now is paying, not that every man's got $100,000, but is paying negative interest. I'm sure, not sure, but I suspect if you're like under 20, you're probably paying, you know, $10 a month in fees or something. But anyway, so now they're dropping this part here, and they're wondering how it's going to work its way through society. And I can't even imagine, man. So if people start taking cash out, then what are they going to do? Have no cash? I mean, what's the next step here? Where are we going so fast that we don't even know where the hell we're going? The immortal words of Jack Callahan, who was on the board of the CBOE, we have no idea where we're going, but we're well on our way.
That sounds, I mean, that can apply to a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, we have all kinds of tweets that we can get to as folks digest
what you just read there. But isn't this fascinating?
It is fascinating. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have, I mean, that's above my pay grade.
Well, the idea of not being able to get cash out. You have to have your money in a bank. Everybody knows everything you do. And by the way, they subtract some of your cash every month. That would be special.
Yeah,
does everybody really want that?
I can't imagine anyone wanting that.
How does anybody not see that that's right where we're going?
I mean, I think who does that benefit besides the banks?
Well, the government.
Yeah.
I mean, they can pay off the national debt. Just drag it out of there.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys don't have any... I was surprised yesterday where they were on CNBC. They were talking about the home equity has reached a new record. Right now, probably the high end is going up higher, but whatever. They had a number of $6.2 trillion, which is a real number, you know, which is obviously is equity in the part of the citizenry, which is good. And I thought for a second, you see, I'm not supposed to think, Matty. So there's over $3 of government debt for every dollar of home equity. For God's sake. That's
not a great ratio.
No. All right, read some tweets.
Well, I mean, you know, David, of course, writes in, somebody should tell Chief that it has now been well established that the whistleblower obtained their alleged information secondhand. He was not live on the call. Therefore, it's fake news.
It doesn't matter. Whatever he would have needed to come up with, David and his gang would have discredited the messenger, whatever it was. They've been at it for a week now, 24/7. Just saying.
We have a couple of people that have said over the last week, Chief, I know she's the busiest person you know, but it would be great to have Diane Swank back on the show.
We should call her.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
Because you know what? The few times we had her hand, I'm going to say it was a different Diane Swank. She let her hair down with us.
Oh, yeah. No, she's always loved coming on with you and Dr. J and coming on the show over the years. But it's been a while since we've had her on.
Well, so she's two jobs away. We used to have her around when she was in Mesro before Jimmy Tyree died.
That's right. Natachi writes in, yesterday Chief brought up local gas prices, so here's an update from my new home in Virginia. All local stations are $2.35 a gallon since last week. Virginia is a blue state, too, by the way.
If he's listening, we went up, what did we go up here, 12 cents in state tax?
I think that's right, yeah.
And there's been a lot of that going on. If he's listening, has Virginia had any increase in the gas tax recently? I bet not. Indiana went up 11 cents too, right?
I think so, yeah. Michael writes in, Chief, you talk about a lot about, he says, Chief, you talk about a lot of borrowing denominated in U.S. dollars. Who wins and loses if the dollar's value drops?
If the dollar's value drops, they win. It goes the other way. Think of it in terms of interest rate. When you do this, you always got to start from the beginning. Okay, somebody is making income in the Chinese currency. All right, if the dollar goes up and you're paying $100 a month in interest, you need more of the Chinese currency to buy enough dollars to pay the interest, which is denominated in dollars. So if the dollar goes down, it goes the other way for interest payments. And in terms of paying back the note. Because I doubt if people have hedged it. Let me go through that again. Maddie, so you can understand. If you're making an interest rate, say, $100 a month in dollars coming out of China, and you're doing your business in the Renminbi, whatever they call the thing, you need more of those if the dollar goes up to meet your $100 interest payment. So the dollar goes up, It doesn't really benefit anybody here because the dollar could be going up compared to that, but down compared to the euro or the yen or vice versa. So it's not a two-dimensional transaction except for the person in China who has to make the interest payment. If the dollar goes up, he needs more of the local currency to get the dollars to pay the interest payment and to pay the thing off eventually. So, but it doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing better on this end because the dollar going up in relation to that particular currency could be going down in relation to another one. So it depends on a lot of stuff. But for that particular person, if all of a sudden the dollar goes way up and that thing goes way down, that person's got trouble making it. It's sort of like the people in Poland that had their mortgages based on the Swiss franc. And all of a sudden the Swiss franc soared in relation to the Polish currency, so guys are essentially their mortgage interest damn near doubled, which is really, really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, but always think of it in terms of the person paying it. That way you can keep it straight. Because if you think about it in terms of the U.S., the U.S. goes up against a million different currencies. Well, not a million, but a lot of different currencies. So you never actually know on that one until you know where they all come from. SP futures up 10, NASDAQ futures up 29.75. Come back with Mr. Jeff Joseph.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Jeff Joseph. He's Mr. Matt Weber. S&P Futures up 950. And NASDAQ Futures up 2750. Jeff, just before you came in, we were talking about the whistleblower a little bit in the Ukraine case, and I'm just gonna—I I don't know. I mean, I'm not privy to that kind of inside information and so forth. But this has been going on like for a while, I understand. I think where a lot of these guys are coming from, and by the way, I'm sort of with them on a lot of it. I don't know how you could ever get me to vote for Elizabeth Warren. I'd be writing you in first, Jeff.
I appreciate that.
I don't know. Can you even write in Illinois? I'm not sure. Some states you can't. I mean, unless you're registered, you can't have your name written in. Some states, it's really weird.
I don't know.
But anyway,
so where'd you come down on the whistleblower side?
Well, I think just in general, there's going to be a rush to judgment against the whistleblower and so forth, and the idea is that kind of no matter what this guy does, because we're so afraid of the alternative, and because, he hates liberals, he hates Muslims, he hates this, and we're loving him for that. Jeff, in this world, and I don't know that this is it, I don't know if he'll ever get there, I hope he doesn't, to be honest with you, because I don't really want to see that mess. Someplace, somewhere, no matter who you are,
There are rules that apply to you. You could be the best CEO a firm ever got, and if all of a sudden the evidence popped in the boardroom that you've been cheating on your expense account or you've been doing something with an employee, Jeff, you got to go. There's no coming back from that. There's no, if you have that type of dishonesty or something, or you don't understand in that position you're supposed to be responsible, you've got to go. I don't care if sales are up. I honestly don't. And I'm gonna say this one time. This is one man's opinion. It's not like being dogmatic. That to the Trump supporters, there's gonna come a point, I hope we don't, that no matter what it is, you gotta go. No matter who you are and how much you hate the next person, you gotta go. And nobody is above it, especially this buffoon. Right? I mean, I'm just saying nobody's above that. I'm not, you're not, I mean, you're the big man at Luckbox. I happen to think from what I'm looking at, you're the most honest man. If it turns out they find your finger in a piggy bank, you gotta go. Much as I love you. And if the same thing happens to me, see you, Chief. I mean, am I right or not?
Sure, if I found my finger in the luck box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
whatever that is. well, listen, I think we have the top line assumption right. It's the application is where these things always go awry. So, you know, who's judging the crime and its relative merit always, you know? I mean, so the contrary argument to that would be, I don't know, when the mics were off, or he thought they were, and Obama said, I'm going to have more flexibility after the next election, just sit back with me, wasn't that the same time of that type of action?
Well,
right?
I mean,
everyone has its own benchmark, and unfortunately, in a tribalist society, you know, everyone looks at things through a different lens.
But I say, no matter what it is, I mean, I understand how this stuff gets blurred, all right? I mean, if it's in wartime, and somebody has unique talents as a general, and you find out, you know, he was messing around with a nurse last week. Yet, if you get rid of him, you might end up with, you know, 30% more casualties. I mean, I'm trying not to be that naive.
Sure.
I get it. But believe me, Trump's not that. I mean, no CEO is that important that you need a crook in there. No, I mean, if the man just does not understand the job and actually, you know, withheld stuff from Ukraine militarily or aid, and unless the guy did something for whatever. If you use that kind of leverage as a president for personal gain, you know what? That's over my line. I'm not saying he did it. I hope he didn't. But I mean, but everybody, no matter who it is, even the incredible Trump supporter.
Sure.
Man is not God. Everybody has to have a line. I'm not saying it's the same as my line.
All right. So does that apply to a vice president? So
sure.
If your son, well, let's talk about Biden and what that issue is on the table. And I think you preface this properly. No one knows what's happening here.
Right, I don't.
I think exactly what's happening here is what happened with Mueller and the Russian collusion investigation. Everybody's getting out in front with assumptions, even though we all know collectively nothing. But what we do know with Hunter Biden was he flew on Air Force Two. He went out and took $1 billion, brought it home from the Chinese government for his private equity fund, having no prior business experience in China and having no prior real private equity experience. And he beat out Goldman Sachs and all the other larger
investment banks
for $1 billion. Yeah. And it was 2 weeks after Vice President Biden returned home from a business trip. So yep. isn't that the exact same type of thing, and doesn't it raise the exact same type of ire?
It raises. I'll tell you what it raises. The people of this country. I don't know that we need a French Revolution type of thing. And the people on the right that criticize me know I'm secretly with them in terms of law and order. They know that. I mean, don't you? I mean,
sure,
I think you do.
Sure. Listen, yeah. I get criticized by the left and the right because I'm left of Marx on social issues, but I'm a fiscal conservative.
I'm pretty much in the same spot. We shouldn't be on together.
Yeah.
In the same spot. But I also know, why does Goldman Sachs get the money all the time instead of PTI?
Right. How about it?
Because they've got the cachet and they've got all, I mean, you know, that's why people take these jobs. It's why do you think, I mean, I was talking to somebody last week about, his name, Scaramucci?
Yes.
So why would a guy like that take a job? And I said, do you have any idea what to be on a microphone from the White House, what that does for your credibility? I mean, when you go to raise money afterward, for God's sake.
Sure.
I mean, this is, that's why, mean, why did we vote for this guy for president? Because he was on TV. I mean, you or I don't care if Solomon showed up tomorrow or Abe Lincoln. He's not going to get a vote unless he gets on, Diners and Drive-Ins first, and everybody gets to know him.
That's right.
I mean, we've got this world is upside down now.
It is.
I mean, we've got people in these jobs that, I mean, I've never been. I mean, Joe Biden has been one of the most non-remarkable people in my mind. I never thought of an idea he came up with. I don't follow Congress that closely, but are there a stack of papers written by him in his office about various laws and doing things? And has he ever done anything? I mean, at least you know.
No, there's a good track record of his evolution on public policy, though.
Okay, but I'm saying, the guys that
and I actually think that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
Well, right? I mean, I know that the right's going to cringe at this. But when Ted Kennedy died, they had a bunch of guys that were the most right on right, who came out and said he was one of the most effective chairmen because he always did the work. He always knew the subject matter. He had the best people working for him. You know, by the way, if you were diametrically opposed to what he wanted to do, he would always listen, and if he could do it, he got it in there. He listened to you, and if it made sense, he goes, he was very effective, and he worked his butt off. Now, I've never heard anybody say that about Joe Biden.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, obviously nobody ever said that about Trump. I mean, yeah, you know, and all of a sudden now we're getting these people that all they do is talk. I don't know. Where are the accomplishers?
Yeah.
I mean, I would see Mitt Romney accomplished a lot. He can't get in.
Sure.
I mean, I'm going to say, Jeff, in my opinion.
How would you handicap that, by the way? Romney.
From now?
Yeah.
5%,
10%.
I mean, this year?
Yeah.
Well, Trump would have to get tossed.
Right. 2020.
Yeah, because I don't know. Man, I think he would roll over Pence.
You know, there's a fascinating website called Predict It. So predict and then IT.com. And it's a .org, actually. I'm sorry. And it is a site that you can place wagers on political outcomes. So,
well, like in Britain, you do it all the time, right?
Yeah, on Betfair, you do it all the time. We're actually at Luckbox Magazine. We're writing a story on it right now for our next issues, which is kind of a futures-oriented issue.
By the way, Jeff, is it banned here? I mean, when they talk about betting on sports,
yes,
I mean,
yes,
specifically.
Well, that's an interesting story in itself. What's the name of the, I'm blanking, the bond trading firm that lost so many lives on 9/11?
Cantor Fitzgerald.
Okay. And Cantor, post 9/11, was evolving into some new business lines. And few people know it now, but Cantor owns 10 sports books in LA, in Las Vegas. So they are the largest current sports book betting entity. They took their algorithms from prop trading and they applied them to wagering and gambling, and they create sport books. So if you go to the major hotel sport books, at least 40% of them in Vegas are run by Cantor, and Cantor has a big bookmaking operation now. And Cantor was one of the lobbyists in Clark County, which is where Las Vegas is, that changed the law about 4 or 5 years ago in Clark County that really hasn't been fully utilized, but basically allows books to make book on non-sporting outcomes. So who will win The Voice in season 14? Who will win the Democratic nomination for the 2020 general election? Those types of things can now technically be bet on, unfortunately, by law, but unfortunately that commercial activity hasn't really popped up yet because Cantor and others are not comfortable with the algorithms around them yet, and they do recognize the opportunity for some of those things to be gamed.
But there's no online betting in Nevada, though, is there?
There is no online betting in Nevada, but that's likely to change soon.
Just a little bit of a backup on this, because when I used to go, when was the first time you went to Vegas?
I've been there many times. I not too long ago was part of a partnership that had a restaurant and a couple of nightclubs.
I think
out
my
there.
First trek was in, I'm going to say 77, and in those days, I mean, if you watch the old crime story thing on TV with Tony Spilotro is the guy who essentially created the sports book in Vegas. I mean, Vegas was a huge gambling
sure.
type thing, and his vision was if you had sports betting out in Vegas, you essentially would connect every bookie in the country to where they'd have a legitimate place to, even though it was out of state, essentially lay off the odds.
Mm-hmm.
So the number one book always was the Stardust. And then there was the place right where next to where Bally's is now called the Churchill Downs, which was a non-casino place. Other places had them, but the big money was always at the Stardust. And at the that was the Chicago Mob place. The Stardust and the Fremont downtown were
right,
Chicago Mob. And the Churchill Downs. I mean, Jeff, I went there one morning. I was thinner then. I jogged my 5 miles. I go to get a bet down on the Cubs. And like $20. The place is mopped, Churchill Downs. And all these guys in front of me, hundreds of dollars, Celtics. Turns out it was the sixth or seventh game of the playoffs when Magic was playing Larry Bird.
Hmm.
And these guys were doing all the layoffs from all around the country. So, of course, in Boston, you know, God knows how much more money's bet on the Celtics. So they're laying off $5,000 in hundos. Next guy's $4,000 in hundos. The other way, the guy's just scooping it up, getting 10% of the action.
Sure.
And he gets to me, and I go, I want 20 on the Cubs. He looks at me like talk about chump change. And I had no business in that room, but this is all like at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And, that's what they did. So now all of a sudden, every single place, when Maddie goes out there, every single place has a sports bar.
Sure.
And yet every place doesn't have that kind of volume.
Right.
So
even some of the restaurants now have a sports book window where, I can't remember the name of the company, but they have like 8 or 9 satellite locations throughout Vegas where they just have a window up in a restaurant, and you can go there and get your ticket, and then you can cash it in any one of their locations.
Well, those things are 24 hours, so I can't imagine why Cantor Fitzgerald walks into, say, the Tropicana or some place and says, you guys really want to run this yourself? And they're going to go, no.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, there probably is somebody who does all this personnel, are probably theirs. And they do all the, they probably have the one, what kind of.
And they're killing it.
Yeah, too. They're killing it, sure. But when you go on, I never bet, my uncle used to do it all the time, I never bet horses out there. They pay the track odds, but where do they lay off? I mean, like if somebody went to put a big bet down on a horse or something, I mean, they take that bet because they can't, or they try and get it in the track.
That's a great question.
But there's a real science to this gamble.
Yeah, I honestly don't. They're clearly making those are direct book that they're making on sporting events, but on the tracks there's probably a rev share there.
Well, the interesting, when Illinois went off track betting, my parents used to love to go to the track, so I've always been a student of this. When New York went off track, there were two separate pools. So if the horse won at the track, you might have got $8, you might only got 70 in off track. But when Illinois went off, it was an attempt to help the racetracks, not separate from them. If you put a bet down off track, it actually went in the pool at Arlington Park. So it was the same payout. Sure. It was only one pool, which makes more sense.
Right.
But, so I mean, I think those guys are probably doing great. Now they probably just, what, they rent the room and that's it?
Sure, and they probably don't even rent the room because they're doing a rev share with it. Most of the leases in Vegas, we had a couple restaurants and a nightclub in Vegas at the Venetian, at the Venetian and Palazzo hotels. Most of the leases are percentage leases, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's how those are the terms of a sports book as well. You know, we're just taking a percentage of your business on the top line.
Well, when Matty Weber does the fantasy football guys, in 2 seconds on a Monday morning, he can answer any question about who did what in what game in football. The only way he could get that in 1978, people ran off all those stats on that old computer paper, you know, with the holes in it?
Sure.
And there was a room, not much bigger than where we're sitting right now, maybe twice as long, same width. On all the walls, those things were up and down, strung up and down, the Stardust. they put them up there at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night, and there'd be 40 guys in there going over those stats.
You know, the papers.
I don't know where else you'd get them, you know, unless you went through every newspaper in the country.
Mm-hmm. Let me back up from where I was going. So Clark County has allowed wagering on non-sporting events, but no one's really done it because they don't have the level of comfort that they can scale.
Any political events?
Let's say non-sporting events.
Okay, non-sporting events.
It could be a cultural event even, too. But there is a website that's a .org. It's technically not for profit, but it doesn't mean that the participants can't profit, that allows you to wager on political outcomes. And they're doing sufficient volume. We're doing a story on them. Predicted.org, if you go to it, you'll see what the you know, the bets are to dollar increments. So it might say now, and I'm just guessing, I don't know the number, that Biden is 30 cents to win the nomination for the Democratic Party. And that would pay off a dollar. And you can buy and sell. You don't have to hold the contract through fruition. So if he's 30 cents now and he rallies to 50 cents after a good debate.
So it's not binary. It's not to the end.
That's correct. Okay. So it's a market. And we've went further. We're interviewing and kind of vetting out the platform itself. But now we've talked to two of their super users. One of them is a trader who trades every week on that platform and has traded large increments. And he's a political speechwriter. He's been entrenched in both the Democratic and Republican parties as a speechwriter. And he feels as though his unique sustainable betting edge there is that he can tell where a campaign is in a cycle and how it's likely to change with certain events coming up and how they react. So he uses his inside knowledge of political speechwriting and has been a successful wager on that platform. The other one's Pure Quant. He's just creating algos and he's creating some spreads and he's trading also, and he's won a competition that they've had now for
Jeff, how far away from this
years.
Is like the University of Iowa thing where you can bet.
It is the Iowa election markets is the only other platform that really exists in the same manner, but it doesn't have anywhere near the volume, the trading volume.
Okay.
As you know, the trading volume creates liquidity, means that there's lower commission costs in the way of the spreads, and that's what makes Predicted a more viable platform right now.
Okay.
So that's a story we're doing for the next issue of Luckbox Magazine.
Hey, can I get back to...
I'm curious, Matt, what is Biden and Warren right now? I think Warren took the lead on Predicted.
Yeah.
Is that...
Well, she's like the lead in the poll. Chris, I didn't even do a poll. I have a question for you.
I'm trying to... So it does have it here. It has... It does have... It says Warren 44, Biden 27.
There you go. That's a big difference.
So that's huge. Yeah. And then it has Trump 43, Warren 32. Trump... that's what I'm looking at right now.
Right.
I have a question for you, Jeff. When you mentioned... And we talked about briefly, since I don't know what's going on, the thing in the Ukraine with Trump. And you talked about Biden going over. I'm just going to lob this one out there for my conspiracy guys. Every time Air Force One goes to a new place or any kind of place to do business and the presidents do their stuff, there's going to be a bunch of news people on that plane, and there's going to be another 40 to 50, well-heeled hangers-on that are also on that plane there to do, quote, business dealings with the country they go to, be it General Motors, be it Boeing, be it somebody. It's been, and a lot of those people, I'm not so sure all of them are necessarily the same party, but I think they all have one thing in common, they're huge contributors. And when they show up, it's not like, you know, PTI or Luckbox gets on that plane. These are the people who pay the millions of dollars, or the gatherers, or what do they call them, the guys that gather everybody else's contributions.
Yeah, the bundlers.
The bundlers. These are the guys that are there. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, if you land in someplace, people we totally hate, North Korea. We don't totally hate North Koreans. They don't hate anybody, hopefully. But if all of a sudden they're going to buy bulldozers, the guy from Caterpillar wants to be on that plane. If all of a sudden there's an agreement with North Vietnam, you're going to find that there's 15, 20 people that already got their contracts out for the first sale. And it's been that way. I'm not saying it's right, but why do you think these companies get so damn big and nobody else does? I mean, it's been that way forever, and that's why they pay up. That's why the one thing that I fight with my listeners on is if you want to be heard in this country, unfortunately, you've got to pay up. And you've got to be on that plane to make yourself heard. And Joe Biden was on the plane.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have been, but you know what? He might have been on the plane because he was smart enough to give. If it was a Republican president, might not be just because he was his son. He might be an equal opportunity payer offer, like a lot of companies are.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I tell you a funny story about this incident. My son, who's at the Evanston High School, is in a civics class. He had an assignment last night that he asked me to help him with. He was having problems with it. And he is supposed
to... A physics problem?
Civics.
Oh, I thought you said you can still do physics problems. My hat's off to you.
I cannot do. Right. So, and his assignment was he had to find a news story from a popular, credible news source. And
that took you a while.
And evaluate it and see why it was wrong. So this issue was just breaking. I went online, and the New York Times ran a story yesterday, and it was 6 hours old at that time, and it said that, this is 2 days ago, I'm sorry, it said that the headline was, President Trump acknowledges that he discussed Biden during a call with Ukraine President Zelensky. That was the headline of the story. And then it was about 30 paragraphs, of which it quoted Adam Schiff, and it quoted the whistleblower and how this story came to be, and it quoted that this is to another Senate Democrat saying it's basically an impeachable offense if he applied pressure, which is what the whistleblower claimed. In the 14th paragraph of that story, it said, Foreign Prime Minister, I forget his name, in Kiev, who was on the call, stated that there was absolutely no pressure and that he was on the call for the duration. And I showed this to him, and I said, well, couldn't the headline to the story, instead of being that the president discussed Biden, which is, I think, pretty much out there, couldn't it have been that the foreign minister acknowledges, who was on the call, acknowledges that there was no pressure, which would be the bigger story, which would be the bigger headline? I'm in the news business. I kind of have a sense for this. My son got it. He understood.
Bleeds, it leads.
I said, all right, use that. He said, there's no way I'm going to use that because my teacher's a raving liberal. I said, well, then what's the point of the exercise, right? I mean, how can you even do that? So it's an interesting story of what high school kids go through. And my kid is a progressive, like most teenagers are on everything, but they get labeled based on political viewpoints, and their teachers, you know, that's an issue now, and you can't think it isn't. It's an issue for children in high school to have free expression of open ideas. There's no such thing.
He said it's crazy because I can't remember. I don't think I could tell you what any teacher I've ever had, what political views they had.
We were the same way.
I'll tell you why it's simple. Now, I'll go in for parent-teacher class conferences next week. And when I did it last year, you know, the second you walk in the room, the bumper stickers, the posters, make it very, very, very clear with the zero room for error where you were sitting.
My guys were so dogmatic.
That is crazy.
I'll tell you what, in Catholic school, well, in those days, they were so dogmatic that there was the right way and there was the wrong way. They never even mentioned a party.
Never.
Never.
I don't remember ever. I don't never. Even remember knowing what my parents were.
Right.
Seriously. Until I was much older.
How about it?
Right. And now, you're right. The second you meet somebody, it's like the first thing that they say.
Now, that was, to be fair, that's public school. He's at, a public high school. He came out of Catholic schools, and the only thing you knew that was, Jesus was watching. I don't think there was nothing else you knew when you walked into the room that someone's watching you.
The only thing I knew is we did a class poll on the Kennedy-Nixon election, and since it was an Irish Catholic ghetto, basically, guess what? Kennedy did much better than Tricky Dick. But that was it. The kid just knew that they liked. Well, of course, if you were a kid, how could you not like Kennedy more than Nixon?
Sure.
I mean, but there is the issue I have. I mean, with this, am I willing to believe? Before all my right-wing guys start, beating up on the whistleblower, and maybe the facts come to light like you're talking about, I have zero confidence, I have zero confidence that this particular president, or maybe the few before him, have any filter in their brain, which is presidential, which is right, which is moral, before they open their mouth. I don't think that any one of these guys have had a filter for a while. And as a country, we're showing it.
I think that's a fair bet you can make with this president based on the evidence in front of you. I think Cantor would book that bet.
Well, you know what? I don't think Obama was much better.
Yeah.
He was just able to hide it better.
Well, no, he was certainly more eloquent and more.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, did Bush honestly think that there was weapons of mass destruction, or was he too dumb to not know? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about people that have made massive screw ups. And somewhere along the line, there should have been I just don't. We talk about it with Lou all the time. if somebody drops something in the middle of the table at a high school, like you just talked about, in Congress or whatever, you don't have somebody to say, wait a minute, is this right or is it wrong? Before I go, is it law or not law? Before I go, which party wants it? We seem to have lost that filter, I think. I mean, we don't have a Sam Irvin around anymore. Damn it, it ain't, just ain't right, right? When it was, SP Futures up 650 now, I'm sorry, 850. SP Futures up 26, be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Jeff Joseph, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 8. S&P futures up 24.75. They're up as high as, I want to say 11, but we've been positive right about in this area most of the morning. If we ain't here today, which we didn't yesterday, by the way, we ended up finished almost flat, we'll make up most of what we lost Friday afternoon on the, we're not going to Bozeman story on Friday, but, you know, who knows if we'll hang in there. Anyway, the Dow's up 73 over in Europe. These guys were down heavy yesterday because they're, yes, there is no growth in Europe, Jeff. Is that the story yesterday?
Definitely slower growth.
Yet, if we just had more negative interest rates, we'd be better off, right?
Sure, right.
DAX up 3, call that flat. Puts you down 25.3%. CAC around up 10. It's 0.1%. But both the DAX and the CAC around were down more than one.
When are we going to start seeing negative interest rates on mortgages? So you can end up with...
Don't get me started. But we actually had somebody on BBM last week talking about how you could count on all your credit card rates going down if they lowered rates. I go, what planet is this guy coming from? You know, they're not going down. They never have. Nikkei up 19. Call that flat. Shanghai up 8.2%. Hang Seng up 58.2%. Bonds, 1.69 10-year rate. The Bund, 0.58 negative. Japan, 0.23 negative. Oil down 60 cents, 58.04. Brent, 64, down 77 cents. So that spread is $5.96. Explain to me this, Jeff. How is it that RBOB gas is up 2 cents since the attack in Saudi, at the pump, what are we up, 40?
Yeah.
Right. How's that multiplication?
Yeah.
Gold down 350, but still 1528, a big up move yesterday. Silver, which is going up faster than gold percentage-wise, 1859, it's down 11 cents today, but it was up like 60 cents yesterday, which is a massive move for silver. Eddie, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
We talked about that silver-gold ratio, right?
Yeah.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues to report. That earlier five-car crash on the Kennedy at Lawrence is all clear, but the Kennedy has been a parking lot. We're an hour and 15 minutes from O'Hare into downtown, which is not a great start to the morning rush. So keep that in mind as you're heading out on I-90. It's affecting the Edens as well. Eisenhower, earlier crash at First Avenue is all clear. Now there's a new crash. It's actually a medical emergency that's blocking the right shoulder on the outbound side at 17th Avenue. On the Eisenhower. Stevenson, traffic building around Cicero, but no accidents to report. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking okay. One other crash to report is on Lakeshore Drive southbound just before Monroe. Hollywood to Monroe is up to 19 minutes. Expect some congestion as crews work to get that crash cleared up on Lakeshore Drive. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, a beautiful late September day. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 79. Right now it's mostly clear and 63 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, rain in the forecast for the second straight day, a high of 89. Right now it's rainy and 69. In sports, it was the Bears all over the Redskins in Washington last night on Monday Night Football. 31-15 was the final. Bears were up 28-3 at one point. They're now 2-1 in the NFC North. Cubs were off last night. They're at Pittsburgh tonight. Basically need to win out to have a chance to make the playoffs. And even if they do, they still need a lot of help. White Sox were off. They'll host Cleveland tonight on the south side. Diamondbacks lost to the Cardinals 9-7.
Chief, who's the new manager? David Ross?
You know, there's a lot of buzz about that.
He was there Sunday. But
I would be interested to see that. There's also buzz about Girardi. And a couple of other names, so we'll see. Oh, and who knows? They could retain Madden or re-sign Madden.
How old is he?
Who?
Madden.
If I had to guess, I would say 68.
Yeah, I don't think he's 70, but he's close.
Joe Madden is 65.
Okay.
The last
week has aged him.
February 8th, 1954. So 65.
Good for him. Before he came in, Jeff, we were talking a little bit about, this negative. Have you ever seen? Well, I mean, it's a long time, but you see a lot because you're observant. Have you ever seen more people talk about a subject they know nothing about than the people on TV talking about monetary policy and negative interest rates? Everybody is convinced that this is the way to go. I don't know anywhere in recorded history, and people have been around for a while. Has there ever been such a thing, and has it ever worked that somebody could point to and say, look at these dudes did this in 1865, and we had Hal Snar on yesterday going through yesterday the mercantilist, and he was talking about people, economic policies that kings had in the 1600s that didn't work. We're the same thing we're doing. He goes, nothing ever changes. Is there any place that you can point? I know the world is the new economics, but people don't change, and economics is nothing but a study of behavior of people. really, than scarcity, correct? Does any, why do people think that this is actually working and is going to work?
You know what it reminds me of? If you go to I was at Riot Fest a couple weekends ago, and it's not the best neighborhood in Chicago, and parking there is pretty difficult.
This is the one over by County Hospital, right?
Yes, yeah. And you know, it depends where you come out, and there's not a lot of parking, and there's 30,000 people there, and so it's a challenge. So the entrepreneurs in that neighborhood have made it a business over the last couple years to extract like a little fee for those people who are, you know, for watching their car when they come back.
Well, that's as old as the hills. They used to do that in the Hawk games 40 years ago, yeah.
Of course. But, you know, there's good reason to do it, and they show up in force when everyone's returning the cars, and you kind of get the sense, all right, I guess this is like the gig here, right? And you see people just complying across the board. And there's something about the notion of paying a bank to paying a bank a fee to keep their money there is just like paying to get your car back for having not done anything. So I think it stinks, and I think you're right. It hasn't been really tested at all. You know, the notion that anyone's going to pay to keep money, you know, that, and maybe it does some interesting new things. Maybe it spurs more venture capital and private investment, or more savings under the mattress at home. You know, it'll be interesting actually to see where this goes and what unintended consequences and behavioral finance issues show up. But I think I think you're right about the general impression that people are talking about something that they have no data points on. Like all the talking heads have been talking about Brexit for the last 2 years. I think the world's collectively tuned it out. You know, there was a lot of talk, and look where we are. We're the same place where we were.
Well, I was never an econometric guy, thank God, because I don't want to do all that math. But I was always a behavioral economist guy. And to me, I mean, human beings are, I don't know that anything, Jeff, works at the margin. And any theory, anything, whatever, starts to lose it on the margin. In other words, even we're going to have a party. Gonna get all Maddie's buddies who do a pretty good job with their beer, and I'm gonna invite them all over, and we're gonna watch the game Saturday.
So that's true, right? I've heard that, but it's kind of out there. I just never heard it said.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, but now I'm gonna go out and buy, you know, I'm gonna say 5-6 cases of beer. Okay, because this is a pretty good group, and if a couple of my friends came over, we might need a little bit more than that. But let's just say, if the you know, the Miller Lite truck shows up in front of the house, the guy starts wheeling them in, I'm gonna say, wait a minute. We don't need all that. I mean, as a young man, we were always, you know, looking around. If we, you know, the ladies, you know, the chase one was always a nice thing, especially if she liked you enough to be caught. But to walk into a room and have 15 women there saying, okay, we're ready, you go, wait a minute. What am I doing here? There's a time when it's sort of too much. And the whole theory of this interest rate is if, you and I and Maddie Weber, we sit there and we go, okay, we want to build this hot dog stand, and we think we only got $100,000, but it looks to us that we could, if we had another $400,000, we could make $100,000 a year with the $500,000, right? So that's 20%, right? So, is my math okay? That's 20%. So we can go out and borrow the other $400,000 at say 6 or 7. We're going to make 20. We're going to pay the guy off his interest and eventually the loan, and everybody's happy. Well, obviously, if the project is not going to return $100,000, but say 80, and all of a sudden now the interest rate is, instead of being, when I say 7, it's now going to be 5, we may go ahead with it. All right? And it may, you know, so the interest rate going down entices us to maybe do the project where we wouldn't have with the interest rate a little bit higher. But if you and I look at the project and we go, if we put in $500,000, we're going to make $5,000. Say something ridiculously small. In other words, we have no stinking project, right? We have no idea to start with. But we're going to go to the bank and the guy goes, go ahead anyway. We'll give you the money for free. at the edge, I don't think it works. I mean, down the difference between 1% and 0.5% or 2% and 1%, you and I are not going to decide on whether we're going to build a building or do a hot dog stand based on that. I mean, who would be dumb enough to do that? We either have an idea that's going to make some dough or not. I understand the difference between borrowing at 8 and 6. It might be a difference if the project returns 10 or 11, which is okay. It's a pretty good project, that we might do it at 6 and not at 8. But the idea that we would do something at 0.75% that we wouldn't do at 1%, do you think we'd ever split anything that closely? I don't think it works on the edge. I mean, have you ever seen anything that does?
I've been involved in a number of businesses and not anything that comes down to that kind of margin, because you have to have really material volume for that.
Well, it may come down to it, but right. You'd never dream it that way.
No, and you certainly don't enter it that way. But to answer your question, I'm sure it does. That's just based on my limited data set. But, yeah, it's still going to matter to somebody. You know, that cost, though negligible, is still going to matter to some business models.
What I'm saying is at the edge, it's like, you know, people who ran marathons, they didn't drink enough water, so some of them croaked, right? Well, then all of a sudden, people drank so much water that some of them croaked. I mean, there's a limit to where you go with anything, I think. Are we going to have to pull, based on this Danish article, are we going to have to pull cash out of society? Because otherwise people are going to take their money out of the bank. Now, you know they're not going to let that happen.
It depends how this plays out. I go back to your earlier statement. We don't know. We haven't seen enough of this. People are talking about something that they don't know. But there is not, you know, but you can think about the fact that there will probably be some new type of investment that, and money's going to flow in new directions if this trend continues. But we don't know. We're guessing.
Let me ask you a simpler question. Would you ever lend money to somebody at 1% if you thought the only reason why he was borrowing is because he couldn't pay 3? talk about a project on the edge.
Right.
I mean, I don't see where they're going with this. They're jamming money down people's throats saying, go do something with it. But there obviously is nothing to do, or people would have done it already.
Okay, but you're kind of a half-glass-full kind of guy here, right? From a business or a venture standpoint, if you're looking for inexpensive capital, and you know, listen, currently, if you had $1 million in revenue and you wanted to go get a loan and you only had 2 years of business experience and that revenue was sitting out there in 30 to 90 days in the form of receivables, you'd have to get it factored at mid-double digits.
Right.
And that's just not, you know, you don't want to pay for
it. Well, now you bring up another whole issue.
Yeah.
Is the negative interest rates that savers are getting and the very small interest rates that big guys are getting, is it creeping down to you and me?
Well, you have to think that this is going to find its way to offset some of that. So, and the scenario I just laid out to you is true. I was helping a friend who has a small side hustle that's turned into something material. It has $1 million in receivables out.
I like that.
Yeah, he collects 90. Well, you know what? That's our next issue at Luckbox. We're looking at all the side hustles out there, which, of course, trading and what you do at PTI and, you know, what we teach in Luckbox Magazine is, it's a side hustle to many, right? It's not a full-time gig. But he had $1 million of receivables from his business, and he had 100% collection rate on receivables. Wrote off only $250 worth of receivables the prior year. He ends up collecting everything, but they're slow payers. And
the state of Illinois, one of them?
No, they're all ad agencies who are in the 90 to 120 day. It's an advertising model.
Also, it's 120. It's not never like the state.
That's right. Okay. Exactly. So he could not get money on that yet.
No.
Yeah, so without factoring, you know, 16, 17%, which is prohibitive. It's ridiculous, yep. Right? So that your observation is a good one. So meanwhile, you have negative interest rates on savings, but you still have these people. You know, there's big delta out there that can be arbitraged, perhaps, by this trend towards negative interest rates. So I don't think it's all bad. There's got to be some good that comes out of it.
Well, you would think, but I don't know. I'm always complaining to my buddies at the Fed. Of course, they can't do anything about it. I think that the policies have driven the banks out of the banking business. You used to be able to go to any bank, and I'm going to say 25 years ago, you could go First National Bank ever in Park, and they would take those receivables for
mm-hmm.
you.
That's
and
right.
And I'll bet it was probably 5%.
That's right.
Certainly, you know, First National and Continental and those guys were all in that business. Right?
Right.
And they would look at it and they would say, fine. But none of these guys do it for the state, I don't think.
No.
I mean, but you're driving this.
He went to several banks. Invariably, they all asked for a personal guarantee.
Yeah,
he said,
yeah.
You know, I'm an LLC. Why would I ever
That's
do
right.
that? Right.
One of the clients here at PTI, obviously we'll go nameless. When this whole thing started, he and a bunch of his buddies, they started giving loans out to like plumbers and so forth that have been in business for 40 years. They're looking for, you know, the business is good. They need a 6 truck. And the only difference is they were getting 2% higher in a bank because they didn't want a personal guarantee. He goes, why should the guy personal guarantee now? The corporation's been around for 40 years.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, why are we driving the banks out of the banking business? I mean, I'm thinking, and I want your opinion on this, this repo stuff this week, I think that that's because the Fed has allowed the federal funds market to essentially deteriorate to nothing, where the banks should send their reserves overnight right back to the Fed and get paid interest rate on it. Get paid interest. They should stop that tomorrow, in my opinion. But there should be a Fed funds market. The guys I know that are in it all got retired. They said there's no business. So why all of a sudden on a Monday night do they think that market's going to reappear just for them?
Well, they're dumping $75 billion a day up to, right? What is
yeah.
it, up to $400 billion on this?
But I'll bet that last night, actually I think the term is M0 or someplace you can find it. M0 is the amount of money that's kicked back to the Fed every day, correct?
I believe so, yes.
I'll bet the M0 was over 75 and the money was just already back at the Fed. Just because the mechanism is sloppy now. So you got banks that don't want cash and they won't give out loans. And yet you give them this huge advantage. One of the gentlemen was on earlier. Joel was out one week and one of his buddies did the show for him or did the interview. And I asked him if a plumber wants a loan in Detroit, where does he go? And he goes online, a LendingTree or one of these
sure.
other guys.
Yeah.
Well, when are we going to say, hey, that's... What is so? How is a bank at all the advantages that our banks have? Or maybe we're screwing them with so much regulation. I don't know, Jeff. You maybe know that better than me, or somebody would. Why are they out of that business when they have SIPC, for God's sake? I mean, nobody has the kind of advantages a bank does to get money in the door.
Yeah.
I mean, why should somebody be kicking their ass competitively? We can even imagine it with the advantages they have?
Sure. Take that IRA and attach it to the student loan scenario.
Yeah.
The average student is $37,000 in student debt, and we're talking about negative interest rates simultaneously?
Yeah. What do you think the blended rate is for most guys? I'm going to say 6.
I believe that'd be a fair estimate, somewhere around there, yeah.
So you get some federal at like 4.5, and then is it 4.5 or 4? Then you get, it's like half and half, and the other half's like 7 or something.
Right.
And doesn't it come out about 5.5, 6, I believe, I don't know, I'm just, guests have said that, and I just kind of remember it. Maybe people are actually in that.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah, no, it's somewhere around 6.
So we're scalping our young people.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how does the Fed have a meeting and say, I got to believe if you were sitting there, they'd never want me, they could take you. I got to believe that when you vote to have the rate go from 2 to 1.5, you're going to raise your hand and say, do we have any confidence that somebody's going to get a letter in the mail this week saying their credit card went from 24 to 23.75?
Sure.
The answer's no.
Well, you know, that's where, and you mentioned Warren, that's where Warren as a candidate would have been the strongest messaging. It's something that she's taken on in the past. It's an area that needs to be addressed. And, you know, I wish this political season was more focused on politics, you know, policy than personality, and we'd actually have some relevant arguments going on.
Jeff, like, what do you make of, I mean, we run out of time, so I'm sorry I interrupted, but
that's right.
my new shtick is, instead of somebody saying something and me being some old fart and saying, well, that's stupid. Even if, you know, I might be right, I might be wrong. I'm trying to envision what it is they saw that I didn't see that made them say that. And when you, and it, it seems like it's working for me a little bit. Now, you be my psychologist here. That even like an AOC comes out with some, you know, non-defensible comment. If you actually look at what she's looking at and saying, I don't know how we got there, but this isn't working. I'm not so sure she's wrong. She has no solution. That's my problem with Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. She points fingers, but I want somebody who says, all right, we're going to do this first, this first, this first, and this is how we're going to get from. We all know where we are, left and right, is not correct. How do we get from here to there? And I don't see, to me, some of the people on the right, all it is, just get me more money and I don't care, which seems to be their attitude. I mean, clearly the old fossils in this administration, don't let me pay any state taxes, I'm moving to Europe anyway, seems to be their attitude. Yeah. Well, that's not the right one. Right. And then the Democrats just figure anybody who's got more money than me and let's tax them. That's not correct either. And that's all I'm hearing, really. Do you hear anybody else?
No, you know, well, Andrew Yang, I guess you can give him some credit.
Plus, I like him, he doesn't wear a tie.
For coming up with at least a solution. You know, the merits of it are questionable, but.
But he and the guy from South Bend, there's a few guys on the Democratic side that are pretty bright. They're 12 years away.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Plus, I don't want him being a two-term president and being 45 years old and having to pay him for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
How selfish is that? And have Secret Service follow him around. I think you should be president when you're 65 to 73, if you're healthy. What do you think about that? Is that too harsh?
That's a little harsh. All right.
Well, how long do you want to pay him afterward?
Yeah, well, if you're thinking about that, but I think you want him in your sweet spot. I remember an article in the New York Times that said the average chess player's master ranking starts falling at the age of 43, which was amazing because you would think all that accumulated knowledge of data recognition and pattern recognition and wisdom from being a lifelong chess master that you'd only get better. But there's something about the mind is sharpest, it starts to slip. And
if 43 is a sweet spot. How old are you? Huh? We don't mind my asking.
I'm past my prime.
Well, I'm going to say that if I were to ask you in a CEO type position or in a senator or president type position, I'm going to guess you will tell me that you are more qualified than you were 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not asking you to beat a halfback anymore.
Without question.
We're asking you to beat a general manager.
That's right. But remember, that's me telling you that. So I'm saying that science suggests that there might be a different answer.
I would say that when it came to, if I was trading on the trading floor, I would have been quicker 20 years ago. But I also know I know a hell of a lot more than I did when I was 40.
Yep.
Not even close. I mean, I've learned a boatload on this show, just some people sending me articles I never would have read without them sending them to me.
Well, speaking of that, I'm going to get a plug in because we've got a minute left.
Yes.
Luckbox Magazine is covering some great issues lately, and it's free to all your listeners, so you should go to getluckbox.com. Matt, what is it again?
Luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
And that's how you get it free. We've just been nominated for Best New Magazine in three categories by the most prestigious award group in the publishing industry.
Jeff, what are you
that's
guys,
awesome.
That is unbelievable.
What's the award group?
It's called the Folio Awards. We were nominated for two Eddy Editorial Awards and one Ozzy, and we'll find out October. We're up against Forbes and Hearst and Meredith, so we got tough competition, but we'll find out.
Are you dragging anybody from, I'll use the term, Fox News or MSNBC? Are you trying to get any? Is anybody starting to read something for real? You guys are trying to do that? I know.
You know, it's tough when you're new. You get to say things that normally others won't do, and that's why we took it so hard against Facebook, Amazon, and Google in our last issue. The one that's on newsstands now. So it's you pay for it on newsstands, but it's free to your listeners, and I hope you check it out.
By the way, we had huge kudos. I got a couple emails from your guys who were here last week or week before.
Terrific. We'll make sure they return again.
Well, you know, we like you too. You know, it's like you guys are both. Maybe we get them on a different day, not one or the other.
I love you too, Chief.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. SP Futures up 7. NASDAQ Futures up 20. We'll see if we hold today. Yesterday we did not. I think we will today. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
No either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com.
Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.